This is Aiden with Oddball Pilot, and I'm sitting down with Pat Goodrich of Island Air Express in Ketchikan, Alaska. And Pat found us through the website, and we'd been trading emails back and forth, kind of talking about Southeast Alaska, where I haven't spent much time, and I've been planning this tour down through Southeast, so hooking up with Pat here in Ketchikan seemed to make a lot of sense. So let's kind of start off with a little bit of your history. When did you first get interested in flying?
I grew up in a family of pilots. Oh. I'm actually a fourth generation. From my great-grandfather all the way up.
Well, that goes back to like
World War I fighter pilot. All the way up through. And male pilot. And yeah, he was World War I fighter pilot and a male pilot after the war. And then grandfather flew, and my father flew commercially, and my brother's, I think, assistant chief pilot for a fractional down south. And so, yeah, I just grew up in aviation and started out in college. I was a flight instructor while I was going to college full-time and just doing flight instructing in between classes. I could run to the airport and just started building time, and I just wanted to get away from the East Coast.
Right. Where in the East Coast?
Connecticut.
Okay.
I want to do something different and get out there. And so I just started to try to find summer jobs, and I tried out west first, Bethel in that area.
Right.
And I said, hey, I can come up for my summer break from college, and everybody pretty much hung up on me or said, yeah, right, we don't need you.
So you were calling from Connecticut trying to get jobs in Alaska.
Yeah, just over the phone.
Yeah.
Not showing up. I was 20 or 21 years old. So everybody either laughed at me, hung up, or just say, no, I don't need you, and literally hung up the phone. And I had got a reference to work for Skagway Air in Skagway, mm-hmm. flying Cherokee 6s from a friend who had been there and flying helicopters around there. He said, call these guys. I gave them a call, and they said, no, we don't really need you. And they did that typical thing where they say, oh, call them until they're sick of you. And I actually did that. And the boss probably got a little tired of me, but a guy quit, and he needed to fill a spot, and I was just the number he had, and he knew who I was, so I just got the spot on my spring break, went into initial training, went back, did some more school, and then came up for the summer. Then after that, just
cycled right in.
Just kept going.
How much time did you have when you got that job?
Probably about 1,000 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been doing it from the instructing in Connecticut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all your connections, your fourth generation being a pilot, didn't get you.
It could have got me somewhere down south, but up here, no. I wanted to break out and get on my own and do something else. So I wanted to break away from what I had going on down there.
Right, do your own thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everything there was good, and I had some cool opportunities, but it just, I don't know, things that go that far and fly that fast and go that high just didn't appeal to me. I kind of wanted to do this stuff.
You weren't thinking jets so
no.
much.
Yeah.
Did you think of Alaska specifically, or was it just the wildest, furthest away place you could think of?
I tried to go, looked overseas.
Okay.
You know, that can be, I did a little bit of time in Africa, a couple months over
there.
In between a summer up here in Southeast.
Working for?
Doing volunteer work for just a guy who had a 206, and he'd lease it out or loan it out to conservation groups.
Okay.
So I started out down in, we started in Botswana, spent some time in Kenya, then ended up in Ethiopia for about a month. Just, you know, had big bush tires on it, just, you know, anywhere, you know, a road, anywhere it could operate out of, and then do survey work and set up remote camps.
Okay.
And then brought the airplane back down through, and it was just a 2-month deal when I was. And
that was all with conservation groups.
Yeah, just different conservation groups.
Huh.
Just volunteer work, really. Living out of a tent, having a blast.
It's just a little off topic, but how'd you find him?
A friend of a friend. That was actually an East Coast connection. A friend, a flight instructor I knew back there, had a student who she wanted me to fly with, because he had his own Husky and a Cub, and she wanted me to just go do some just basic instruction with him because she thought we'd click, and we just started talking, and he had done it, and he said, hey, we need a guy this winter for a couple months, you want to do it? I said, of course I want to do that, because I always wanted to go to Africa. It was one of my flying goals.
Yeah, mine too.
And it was a kick, and you've been there, right?
Yeah. I haven't done the the big wheel mm-hmm. kind of off airport stuff, which is a whole different realm of African flying.
Mm-hmm.
Another friend of mine did it in 185. In Zambia, and he loved it. He still talks about it.
I got kicked out of Zambia, and they told me I was going to be arrested if I ever came back. Without clearance, we went through, and boy, do they get mad.
Oh, he might have the same problem, but for different reasons.
Oh, really?
It's because who he was working with.
And, oh, really?
That's a long story.
Yeah.
Huh, yes, Zambia might be a little more strict than some of them.
They're pretty nasty. Yeah, they were sending some really nasty grams towards us after I left. Yeah, they were not very nice.
Man, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah.
I might get the name of that guy at some point from you, because he still looks for pilots.
No, he actually, I was going to be going back there. He actually passed away. He was flying his own, hit a little Husky, and okay. He crashed. I think he had a heart attack up in Massachusetts where he lived, and they found him in the airplane, crashed somewhere, and they think he had a heart attack. So then there, it all went away, which is too bad, because I was planning on going back and doing some more winters doing that.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's one of those really nice little cherries that we kind of all look for, and every now and then you find one, you go, oh, that's great.
Yep, I know, that's why I was going to dig into it.
Yeah.
That is one that would be really cool to find out about.
Yeah.
I was reading an article about Patty Wagstaff. She's flying fire bombers.
Yeah.
Working up towards that.
Yep.
And I know she was doing some training with some Rangers.
Yeah, I've read that. I've read an article on that.
Yeah, and I was kind of wondering about that too. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that was connected to what you're doing at all, but something different.
No, it was the same areas, I think. And this airplane went all over Africa. So I'd actually, when my wife and I got married in Mexico, I was in the pool and I met a woman who had flown the airplane a year or two before me for the same guy doing the same thing.
Huh.
It was just, and she knew pilots in Alaska, Southeast, and she had never been up here, but she knew pilots through different connections.
Who'd gone and...
What's that?
Who'd gone and done that?
No, we had known through other connections. She knew that were skiers. She was a skier.
Okay.
And her husband was a professional U.S. ski team skier. So we started talking about skiing first and got into aviation, into Africa, into same tail number and the same person, then into, I knew a pilot in Southeast Alaska. I know him, and...
Went from there.
Yeah, you know how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. All right, back on target. So you got to Skagway with your first job flying. What
Cherokee time? Sixes, Skagway Air.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Skagway Air still in business?
Nope. No, they closed down.
Airlines seem to do that.
Yeah, it was. You know, they just kind of came to their end. They did on their own. It was their own thing. They decided it was time.
Time to move on.
Yeah.
So after they, were you there till they shut down?
No, I left before then. Yeah, I did about 4 years, some seasonal, some year round there.
Okay, and the seasonal there is like May through end of September?
Yeah, beginning of September usually. They start slowing down, yeah.
Cool, so you leave Skagway and you end up?
Arctic Circle Air, flying the Sherpa.
Okay.
That's when I went up there and out of Anchorage for a year and a half. And then when my wife got pregnant, we decided we wanted to come back down to Southeast.
Okay.
Because we were having a little boy. And Southeast is just a neat place to raise kids. So we came down, and I worked for Wings of Alaska in Juneau.
Okay.
For a summer flying Beavers and 207s.
On floats?
Yep, 207 on wheels, Beaver on floats. Then I went over to Alaska Seaplane Service, where I had Beavers and Cessnas on floats. I spent about 5 years there.
That was in?
Juneau. In Juneau. As well. And we flew amphib Beavers and straight float Beavers. And did 5 years there and became chief pilot there. For I think 3 or 4 years of that, and then that's when we decided it was time to move on, either to go to a smaller, more remote place, because our son was getting older and we wanted to give him kind of a neat experience. And I was starting to get itchy feet.
Yeah,
you know, pilots tend to get itchy feet. Obviously, we all know about that.
Yeah,
we all
are the itchiest.
Yeah. So I wanted to get back in the IFR world. You know, I miss that. You know, and the turbine. But I enjoy the scheduled service, so that's when I found Island Air Express this fall and came down here.
Okay, that's most of my impression about Southeast is usually VFR, usually floats.
Yep.
And it's VFR for a couple reasons. One is the weather's really bad.
Yeah.
There are mountains to hit.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of water.
Yeah.
So you're here, but you are flying IFR.
Yeah.
And you're doing that in a land plane.
Yeah.
That's the
game. And the... We have the amphib also flies IFR in the summer.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. How does that so Island Air Express is, and they're the only ones doing that down here.
There's one other company that does IFR, but they don't. They have a Navajo up in Sitka.
Oh, okay. Yep.
They have two Navajos actually. Harris Air. They've got a couple of them there.
Oh, not the Medevac company.
They have one's Medevac. They've got a contract with the Native Corporation here.
Yeah.
So they got one for medevac and then one for just charter flying.
Okay. How many approaches are there, like usable approaches around here?
Well, we got here in Ketchikan, Klawak. Those are our primary runs. But then you go up to Piersburg and Wrangell have approaches. In between there's Cake, Sitka,
So GPS approaches?
There's GPSs, ILS here. Okay. Sitka's got some really good GPSs plus the localizer approaches, or a localizer approach. So you've got some pretty good approaches, especially here in Ketchikan. You've got an ILS.
Right.
So it's either, you know, for our route, it's perfect. That's one of the problems. Like, Juneau doesn't have very good instrument approaches.
Right.
Alaska's kind of got the RMP, so they're the only ones that really can, you know,
utilize it.
Yeah, they can. The only ones who are reliable, besides
right.
Acer is pretty reliable, but they're really good at what they do again, and they've been doing it for years. But
right.
Basically, Alaska's the only one that can do it reliably.
Yeah,
but down
saw,
here, we've got better ones.
I just saw Acer coming here too. I didn't realize they're offering this far south.
Oh yeah,
but they're doing it out of Anchorage still.
They do. Yeah, they come out of Anchorage, and they do Petersburg, Wrangell, and Sitka here, Juneau.
It's all cargo.
All cargo, and then they'll do charters to some of the smaller towns too, because they're fewer paved runways.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that was kind of from my own information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They seem to be doing really well these days, which at one point we thought they were.
Yeah.
You probably saw that when you mm-hmm. were with Arctic Circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, when you came to Island Air Express, were they already flying IFR?
Yep.
So you knew you were going to get into that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're established already.
Okay. Did you come straight into the chief pilot?
I had about a 3 week or a month, no, 3 week break from being chief pilot.
Okay.
So yeah, it happened. It just, you know, right place, the right time.
Right.
There was a changing of the guard. A fellow moved on to actually become an FAA inspector.
Okay.
He left to go do that. So it just kind of fell into that spot.
So you didn't take the job expecting to be the chief pilot?
No. No, I was actually planning on just being a line pilot for a while. You know? But
what's that? I mean, because I see that chief pilot jobs often is very thankless. It's a lot more work,
mm-hmm.
or can be.
Mm-hmm.
It's often not a lot more money.
Yeah.
People often think it is.
Mm-hmm. That's generally true, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, here they, Island Air Express, they treat their people pretty good. And it's, you know, it's a small company. It's so small. I mean, there's only, you know, we only have a handful of pilots.
Right.
So it's definitely more of a one-on-one relationship with everyone. So it's a little bit, you know, it's not, I'd imagine like somewhere really big where it is probably, where everybody's more one of a number.
Right.
Here it's definitely pretty down to earth.
Yeah, you and how many pilots do you have?
Really full time, there's only, when we're rolling full time, there's 3 full time guys.
Okay.
That's it, year round.
Yeah, so you really are
part-timers.
Working
yeah.
right with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's one-on-one working together. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Back to the IFR, that is kind of unique. So how often do you end up filing IFR?
In the winter, pretty much. In the winter, 90% of the time.
Okay.
Almost every, because the weather's pretty
rotten.
Especially this winter, it was pretty bad. So pretty much every single flight was IFR this winter. You get 10% that weren't. Now as we're getting into spring, this week we've only gone IFR, you know, a couple times a day. Today,
right.
Well, we've been IFR today, but we probably could go VFR earlier today, but our passengers like the IFR
right.
system. They
yep.
don't like it and
yep.
bumped around down the passes.
Yep.
That's why they fly with us. So we try to utilize the IFR system as much as we can.
Right. So it's not necessarily, if I've flown a place where it's just a policy, you'd file IFR. Blue Sky Day, you file IFR.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily a policy, but it's
no.
when it's practical and makes sense.
Yeah. And it's encouraged.
Right.
Yeah. We know, you know, customer service is really important to the company.
Right.
It's, we really build off that. So it keeps the people happy. So we try to stick with it.
And wintertime, you're flying, it's just scheduled. It's not tourists.
No, it's just scheduled. Most of the year, the wheel plane flies scheduled. Well, the wheel plane, we have the caravan wheels and the one on amphib floats. The wheel airplane will do charters to the local towns, but primarily it's just doing the round trips between
okay.
Ketchikan and Kluwak. And the amphib will help it out. It'll do it'll pick up the slack, and then the amphib will do the trips to the lodges
okay.
and the occasional tour.
So you're not a big tourist airline.
No.
Much more scheduled than charter flights.
Yeah, that's pretty much all we try to do tours when we can, when they fit in.
Right,
But
you don't have the fleet for it.
No.
You don't have walking around town today, there's some outfits, they've got 2 planes in the winter and, you know, 10 in the summertime.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you just have to be able to really adjust
yeah.
as the season goes.
And those guys, that's kind of their territory. They've really worked hard at it, and they're
right.
really good at it.
Yep.
And this is our thing.
Right.
You know, we've really been trying to focus on, our commitment was to the people of Prince of Wales Island. And
right.
That's when the company started. We said, we're here for you guys. That's what we're going to do. We're focusing on the community.
Right.
Our number one priority is scheduled service. open up the seats for people, a reliable scheduled service. And that's their lacking. And it's shown because it's really taken off well with people.
Right, you're not even based in Ketchikan. Based in Klawik.
Yeah, in Klawik, yeah.
Which is Klawik. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to work on that.
Yeah, Klawik, yeah. It takes a little while to get used to it. It took me a little bit. Yeah, I was corrected a few times.
There's a place, when you said the owner started in Aniak.
Did he? No, he started in, where did he start? Scott, he was out west fishing lodges. You'll probably meet him tomorrow. He can tell you all the history about himself. But he started out west fishing lodges, and his father ran the Hovercraft for Linden.
Huh.
And
I was going to talk to those guys when I was in Bethel, but that's an interesting.
Yeah.
It's not flying, but it's bizarre.
So he's connected with. Scott can give you the whole story about that when you see him. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I might get a whole nother. That might be worth a whole nother interview.
Yeah, it is, actually.
If he's interested in doing it. So you do mainly scheduled flights. You are flying IFR. The float plane's doing the amphib. When you're doing the schedule, it's probably landing on runways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when it's the lodges, it's why it's on the amphibs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you do want, when you're looking for pilots, you want someone who can do both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's, from the float drivers I've talked to, that's actually pretty unique to find a float driver who can fly IFR.
And a float driver that has amphib experience, because not that's a lot of amphibs
point.
Around.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's pretty hard to find, anybody with amphib experience, because it's such so easy to mess up when you're on amphibs. You know,
right.
Especially when you're combining with IFR. So you got a whole nother thing to throw in the mix.
Right.
And somebody has turbine experience as well.
And you're flying the caravans with the Garretts.
Yeah.
Which is 900 or 1,000 horsepower?
This one's a 950.
Okay.
The wheel one is 950 and the amphib is 850.
That seems backwards.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's the Grand has a 950. And then the 850 is just a standard caravan.
Right.
A little bit smaller. So.
Yeah, but then you put it on amphibs.
It'd be nice to have a 950, but 850 is a heck of a lot better than a standard caravan.
Did you fly the standard caravans?
I had just a little bit of time flying them around a little, yeah.
So not enough to really appreciate how much better the Garrett
is. Enough to know that I've got it pretty good. Yeah.
Now, a big difference is you add left rudder when you add power, because it turns the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that probably takes a little getting used to.
The first time, then you just stick your foot in the ground.
Yeah.
It's going that way.
So when they decided to do the IFR, is that when they moved up to the Garretts? Or did they
started
from the get-go?
They started, yeah. Scott, the original owner, well, he is still the owner, Scott Van Valen, when he initially started, right from the get-go, it was, top of the line right from the start.
Right, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you're based in
Klawik.
And that's where you're in your home every night.
Yeah.
So kind of, and you've got your wife and your son, of course, and that's partly why you took this job was quality of life.
Yeah.
As much as the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the island is I kind of call it Bush Light because it's not like the beer, but Bush Light because it's not like Western Alaska, you're not living in a village. Well, there are some villages there, but it's just a little bit tamer version of the bush.
Right.
And lots of roads. You can get out lots of logging roads and some decent mountains and get the ocean there. So a bunch
kayaking,
of lakes. Kayaking.
Boating.
Yeah, a lot of Forest Service cabins.
Huh.
I mean, it's a playground. It's a neat place to raise kids. It really is.
Huh. And you're home every night. In the summertime, the days can probably run late, I would imagine.
You know, I think the days in the winter, they run fairly late in the winter. Or they start early because your first flight's at 7 in the morning. Winter. So you're getting there, 6. You got to be at the airport by 6.
Right.
So you're up fairly early. And then you're usually done in the winter. I'm usually out of there and done by 6 again.
Okay.
So it's a full day in the winter. It's not a 14-hour day.
Right.
You're usually 10 to 12 hours in the winter. And then in the summer, they're usually 12 hours, sometimes 14-hour days. But it's not too bad.
Pretty normal Alaskan schedule, honestly.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Do you have a rough, hours per month that you fly?
Heck of a lot. You know, in the winter, we've been kind of rotating 3 days on, 4 days off, and then rotating back around 4 days on, 3 days off, which basically is like a two-week on, two-week off type of schedule.
Right.
And you only do, generally, if you're VFR, you're doing 2.5 hours a day. If you're IFR, around 4 hours a day. Well, 3.5 to 4 hours a day. So it's not a lot of flying you do a month. It's
right.
Not a heck of a lot.
But in the summertime, that picks up.
It does. But, it's such a short hop.
Right.
You don't you're busy during the day because you're on the ground, you're doing these turns, you've got an airplane full of fish boxes, so you got these busy turns, but the flights aren't very long. It's 35 minutes going from Ketchikan to Klohok, 35 to 40 minutes, and then coming back, it's a little more direct. It takes 30 minutes to 25 minutes IFR. If you do a VFR, it's like 17 minutes either way. So it's kind of a high cost. Yeah. It's good enough where you don't get bored, but then you're, you know, you're starting to work, coming back down.
How do you compare this to Western Alaska?
You know,
of course, you're in the Sherpa, very different.
Yeah, the Sherpa, and I wasn't living in Bethel and living the Bethel dream.
Right, yeah.
But from what I've seen, you know, because we would go out there and help out and do that stuff, it's, in some ways, it's similar because you got the IFR thing.
Right.
You got...
you've actually made it somewhat similar by flying IFR here.
Yeah, with the caravan. Yeah.
Scud running in the float planes all the time.
Yeah. So it's definitely closer to Western Alaska flying than it is when you're in one of the beavers around here.
Right.
You know, some of that, you know, and even in the float plane, do some of that where you shoot the approach and then you're down, trying to get yourself to a lodge VFR.
Right.
Actually, what we always do in the float plane, either go out of here VFR or shoot the approach and go VFR. So it's kind of like what we used to do in the Sherpa, you know, go somewhere, shoot the approach in the King Salmon, and then go down the peninsula.
And try to find out where it actually is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
How would you compare the weather here to Western Alaska?
Pretty snotty here. Bad. Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of like some of the weather on the peninsula.
Uh-huh.
When you go down the peninsula, just really wet,
windy.
A lot of wind here. More wind here than we get up in the northern part of Southeast, like where I came from, Juneau. You get a lot of wind with a lot of bad weather.
Here. Right.
It's just it's surprisingly, especially out in Klohok, because we're out closer to the Pacific.
Huh.
You know, we're kind of on the outside, we're way more exposed out there.
Right, a lot more wind.
Yeah, a lot more wind. Generally, it's a little bit nicer weather out there than here, but more wind when it comes in.
And the amphibs are pretty nice, but you do have the option of going and landing if the water's too rough. You can land on a strip.
Mm-hmm.
This channel out here just outside of Ketchikan, between the airport and Ketchikan, does that stay pretty calm? Or does that gets pretty choppy,
yeah.
So the wind does channel down through there?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was wondering about that. I was thinking, I wonder if this actually keeps it protected or if it really
does
the opposite.
No, it gets pretty nasty in there from what I hear. I haven't done a summer yet, so I've... well, I'll let you know in the fall.
Oh, we'll check back.
Yeah.
So, because you were a chief pilot up north, further north as well. So when you're looking for a pilot coming up here, and this isn't just at Island Air Express, but your former experience as chief pilot, what do you want to see in a pilot? And what are you, if you're looking at a resume, obviously looking for flight time.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic flight time, your minimums you're going to look for, and then what are you going to look for beyond a resume?
Anything, you know, anything out from the resume, anything outside of a regional airline or flight instructing, you know? Banner tower, you know, somebody that went and flew survey work, you know, those kinds of things. Something outside the norm, you know, somebody that kind of try to get off the track, the normal track, you know,
that
kind of person tends to fit in better up here because most of the people, as you know, that come to Alaska, they just things didn't fit in for them down south.
They're just a little off.
Yeah, just a little off. You know, that's the funny thing about being chief pilot. You do meet a lot of pilots up here that are just a little off.
But they're very good up here.
Very good at what they do, and they find places up here where it's their niche. So you kind of, I look for guys that generally have kind of done something a little different. And as far as flight time, it depends on the kind of flying they've been doing, you know.
Right.
Like, I came up here with 1,000 hours of flight instruction time, but a guy that came up with 500 hours of banner towing time was probably just as prepared as me with 1,000 hours sitting next to somebody.
Right,
you know?
See how good they are.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you need instrument skills, too.
Yeah. You know, for us, here at Island Air, you know, it's a little bit different. You know, you put somebody in a beaver, you can take a guy that's got, you know, a bit of float time and a lot of hands-on flying time, but here with this, Island Air Express, it's you need guys that have... You know, caravan time to meet the 135 IFR minimums and all that kind
of
stuff.
Yep.
Especially in a caravan, because we're flying a single pilot with an autopilot, so they got to have some caravan time to make life a little bit easier, getting them online.
Right.
Then we like guys that have amphib time, turbine time, and IFR time, and it's got to be Alaska time. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to get a lower 48 person.
It's a small niche, and there's no program to bring people along. You don't have a right seat program.
We don't.
No. But you're small enough. You don't.
Yeah.
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 How many pilots do you think? I don't know. You just got this one's sort of new to you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you anticipate hiring a pilot a year?
Hopefully not.
Right.
We're hoping to...
You're small enough.
We'll have to get rid of this guy if we do. No, we're small enough, and that's what we... We actually have a new crop of pilots actually this year. There's going to be... It's going to be actually three new pilots this year.
Okay.
Starting from the fall, going into the summer, there will be three new guys, including me, with the goal of finding guys. We went for guys that were from Alaska up here, guys that really wanted the job, guys
right.
that the company actually knew.
Yeah.
Our newest pilot, Cable, I've known since I started flying up here. And
like you said, he's a Southeast guy.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, when I got down here, the first thing I talked about was, hey, we got to hire my buddy Cable. He knows Southeast Alaska. He's going to stay. He's not going to leave. Because part of the problem is hiring pilots that want to stay on Prince of Wales Island.
Right, yeah.
Even though it is light bush, it's not really hard bush. It's pretty nice, but it's people's families have to like it.
When you are living there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these bush jobs in Western Alaska, as you know, they're rotation.
Yeah, duty, exactly.
So you're in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're there for 2 weeks, but then you go wherever you want.
Yeah.
In this case, you need to really enjoy this lifestyle.
Yeah, you have
because
to like
you're
it.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have to have reasons to be there. And that even and from guys, you know, that want to come up, we want to hear why they want to be there. You know, I have a motorcycle while I ride around the island, got a snow machine, like to ski, like to boat. My family likes it there. You know, it's nice to have that. And that's hopefully, shouldn't be hiring anybody too soon, but you know, there's always possibility of expansion and growth.
Right.
So it's with what we have, I like to keep the core guys we have now, and then hopefully, as you know, time goes, add to it.
Right. Any plans that you know of to expand?
I mean, no, but you
happens.
Never know. Yeah, you know how it goes in aviation. You know, it just takes
looks
some.
Like
we're good.
If you
no.
want to take a picture, I was just posing. I'm just wondering how much longer this is going to take, Liz.
We'll leave out here about quarter till, about normal, so another 10
yeah.
minutes or so. 10 minutes?
We can wrap this up in 10.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
Is that cool?
That's
okay.
cool. Yeah,
right.
yep. Like yeah. I said, this shouldn't interfere with work.
Yeah.
So if you've caught any of that.
Actually, cable's actually working.
We're already loaded and ready to go. So,
so yeah, there's not much work there. I'm just watching.
Now I'm trying to think of where I want to get. I don't usually ask specifics on pay.
You
no
can,
people,
that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll just ask you, what's
yeah.
your starting pay?
If a guy's got the right kind of experience and they meet the standards we're looking for somebody that's fully qualified, for the wheel plane, it can be as much starting pay as $300 a day.
Okay.
And the amphib, $450 a day.
Oh, that's actually really good.
That's pretty good. Well, it's because it's really hard to find somebody qualified.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, when I was walking down talking to the operators in Ketchikan here, mm-hmm. they were saying they can't compete with the pay in Western Alaska.
No.
And they were thinking lodges, I
yeah.
think, primarily.
Mm-hmm.
But your pay is as good or better than a lot of the Western Alaskan companies.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's
yeah.
that's excellent.
And it's 5 days a week, you know, so it's pretty, you know, you're not doing just two weeks a month. But,
right.
you know, in the winter it does slow down a bit. But we've started our Arizona operation as well.
That's right. We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah. So that's where we'll be rotating pilots in and out of there too. And that's for a little bit less than the amphib. And I can't tell you exactly, I haven't been down there this winter, so I will be next winter. But I can't tell you exactly what Arizona pay was.
I bet it's
$275 a day, housing and car.
Yeah.
Wow, that's actually for lower 48. That's pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. I know we're running out of time here. So Arizona, you're in Scottsdale,
mm-hmm.
one plane
yep.
on amphibs?
Yep, our amphib
and
plane.
Flying out of the lake?
It's flying out of Scottsdale, out of the airport
okay,
there,
okay.
and goes up to Lake Roosevelt
okay.
and does tours in the lake. They do things from just simple water landing and landing takeoff to shut down and get on the floats to one where they go to an island and they do a whole brunch set up at the hotel where you fly all the cooks or chefs out first and the people and go get back at the passengers. So there's higher-end stuff, and then there's stuff for just the average people coming through.
Right. But it is based on, it's a tourist. Because up here,
it
you're
is.
Not based on tourism,
no.
which is weird.
Down there, it's total tourism.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of the opposite.
It is completely the opposite, yeah.
And it's nice for the guys to get out of Alaska for 2 weeks in the summer.
It is going to be nice, yeah.
And get in the sunshine.
Yeah.
Now, just to go back briefly, to the pay, let's say you had somebody with lower time,
mm-hmm.
But you knew them.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a reason to hire them.
Mm-hmm.
They'd probably start them in the land plane
mm-hmm.
and then sort of bring them along.
Yeah.
So they would be willing to think about stuff.
Oh,
like
there's
that.
Always that possibility.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
And then the pay would be obviously less.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
We could start guys with less pay to bring them up through the ranks. But you know, there's still that core of, you know, guys need to have that amphib time and float time, or they have to be a super high time caravan guy where we'd be willing to work them into the float. You know, there's,
right.
But you know how it's the dynamics of it. You never know how it's going to work out,
right.
You know, and what the future of the company is. But yeah, we're willing to be creative occasionally, yeah.
And you're small enough, I'm guessing you would almost always hire somebody that you have at least met.
Pretty much guarantee you that, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hire off the internet.
No.
I mean, that would, you've no need to.
No, we wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, we're you know, it's a good enough company, and it's small enough, and the pay is good enough that, you know, we can generally attract a fairly good group of guys, I think.
So. Right. Yeah. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you need to go flying, and yeah. I'll find you guys again tomorrow. We'll go out to
Klawok.
Yeah. And look at the airplane a little bit, and I'll get some pictures of your operation out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's really neat. You'll get a kick out of it.
Cool. And then we'll talk tomorrow, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right.
Cool. Thanks, Ed.
Oddball Pilot, signing off.
We hope you liked this interview. If you found it useful, visit oddballpilot.com for more stuff like it.